Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WFB Talk Continues. And then this is Good evening, everyone. This is WFB Talk Continues, and welcome to the next installment of Sidelines with Nance Wernis of the two-time champion Kansas City Storm. The last couple of weeks that... get a little feedback there. I'm sorry. The last couple of weeks, we've kind of beat up on the leagues, and I think that today we're going to kind of beat up on ourselves and try to just share some thoughts about things that I think that we do to thwart our success as a football sport. And I call this installment the enemy within, because I think sometimes we're our own worst enemies when we're trying to build this sport and do good things. And we can end up really crippling the growth of women's football by our actions. And so I just want to spend some time tonight, you know, whereas we're kind of embarking on the next season, and kind of remind folks of, you know, things that, you know, we should be doing differently or better. I don't think there's anything going to be earth-shattering here tonight, but I think it should cause for reflection that these things happen. They continue to happen, you know, even after, you know, some 10 years here in this latest generation of women's football teams and leagues. And it's maybe just a good reminder of things that we should be watching for and taking into account. And then, of course, always, as always, if you've got comments or suggestions, you please email those to me at nwernis@kcstormfootball.com, and we'll introduce those topics and that feedback at the beginning of the next show. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm also going to focus mostly on off-the-field behaviors. Obviously, there's a lot of things we can do on the field to help the sport, and then also to cripple the sport with sportsmanship, et cetera, how well we're in shape, how well we know the game and respect the game on the field. But we're not going to really talk about that tonight. Maybe that's another installment. But I want to talk about off-the-field type things that we can be aware of and kind of focus on maybe in the next year and make our sport better. I think my title talked about that we were going to kind of take a player's perspective with this, and I've kind of decided to open it up to coaches and owners and staff, kind of everybody, because that's kind of really what the team is. The team isn't the players. The team is the staff and the coaches and the owners and everybody working together off the field to get the product on the field. And I don't think there's any, you can really split out any one group. So I'm going to kind of try to address a lot of behaviors that I've seen from all those sections, all those segments, and hopefully then get off of this topic, because I think this will be the third installment on this kind of topic, and we want to go on to something else next time. So I'm going to focus on team behaviors that can hurt the sport, team meaning coaches, staff, owners, players, and basically the off-the-field things. One of the things, obviously, that comes to mind live first is the escalation or the drama. You know, drama is a big word. The word is used a lot, and I'm not sure if we all understand what that is. But one of the things that I would suggest, if you're an owner, then you haven't got this in place, is that you create a code of conduct and have some escalation process for the player, staff, coach, whomever, that might be having an issue that might need to be heard, that has a suggestion. And you probably ought to have, I know we have two different legs of that. We have the leg that's on the field and off the field. So depending on where the issue or the concern is, there's a different escalation for that person to get that resolved. And if that's not in place, push to get that in place. Work with the team to have something that everybody's comfortable with. The Storm has one that's out there on the website if you want to look at it. I think you just go to our homepage, and if you do a / codeofconduct.html, there's an example there of things, of behaviors that we list out to say, we're not going to do this as a team. You know, we're going to call people out if they're engaging this way. And every team should have one of those, I think, and it kind of just gives rules and some rules for engagement and give some framework so that issues can be resolved quickly and get behind you and then go on to more important things. So certainly I think that whether you call it the code of conduct or whatever, there should be some mechanism for whoever it is, an owner, a player, coaches, et cetera, to get their issues resolved and get behind them. One of the things when I go through the code of conduct, I do that every at the beginning of every season, is invariably the players or the coaches that are sitting in the meeting all nod their heads and they're all on board, and this is really kind of no-brainer things. It's obvious, you know, these are things that come up and this is how we want to handle them, and everybody seems to always be on board. But the frustration I know that the Storm has is that people don't follow it. They embrace it at first, they understand it, but for some reason when it push comes to shove, it's not employed like it should be. We had an issue just this week where an email had gone out, a player had gone and asked for some clarification that was quickly, you know, put out, and then the next communication that went out was several days later, she quit because of the drama. And I just sat back amazed that for some period of time, obviously there were several days there that there was something going on, there was some stewing going on, and the process to get whatever was upsetting her fixed, explained, changed, whatever, wasn't ever invoked, because I know I was never brought into the loop, but whatever it was upset her enough that she wanted to leave. So we have to, I think, continue to reinforce that the whatever mechanism we have in place. And players, if you're not using it, coaches, if you're not using it, staff, owners, if it's not being used, it's going to be very detrimental to the team, and then obviously to the growth of the sport as we try to eliminate drama and work together as a team. And also the team has to work together as a team within the league. And, you know, we're all dependent on each other at different levels. And so every link in the chain's got to be strong. And if we're not on solid footing, you know, that hurts everyone. So got to make sure that we have that in place and that we follow it. And we somehow get the gals to do it. When they're not doing it, it's kind of like it's kind of like going to the extreme if you get a bad product. Maybe you buy something and it doesn't work or there's some issue with it. And your first step is to sue the company, you know, which is kind of the extreme case of what to do when you can't get anything resolved. And, you know, in this case, the extreme case was I quit, all right? We should give the team members a set of steps to go through to try to get that resolved. Just like if you had a bad product from a company, you would first maybe start with a store manager to see if you can get some resolution there. Then maybe you call customer support. Maybe you have to go outside of that group and go to like the Better Business Bureau and try to get resolution that way. And then maybe ultimately you have to go to a court or a suing situation. But, you know, typically you would go through some escalation to get your problem resolved, and I don't know that we do that as well as we should in women's football. So kind of an observation that I've had, and I toss that out for comment or suggestions. Give everybody the tools that they need but unfortunately, too often they don't use them. I'll give you another example. There was a time in, I think, 2008, and this is a good example because no one is above these rules, even the owners. And the others, the staff and the players, the coaches have to be comfortable with that knowledge to know that the owner's not above it and falls into the same rules as everyone else. There was a time in 2008 where there were some rumors being spread and some kind of commotion going on, and it was unbeknownst to me. And several weeks into this activity, if you will, one of the veterans pulled me aside at practice and said, "You know, Nance, I really think this is wrong what you're doing." And I kind of looked at her and laughed. I said, "Well, I think that would be wrong too, but it's not happening. What are you talking about?" And she kind of looked perplexed. And basically, she was confronting me. She was doing all the right things. She heard something. It was very disruptive to the team at the time. And she went right to the person that was in the middle of it, and that was me. Unfortunately, all this was happening not unbeknownst to me, right? So it was very valuable. It was very courageous of her, you know, to come to me and basically call me out and say, you know, "Nance, this is wrong what you're doing." And I had to agree with her, but it wasn't anything that I was doing. So I was able to, you know, very publicly correct the message that had been put out there, you know, much to the embarrassment of the, you know, the woman involved and the player that was involved, and then her immediate group who had, you know, somehow, you know, leveraged that for gain within the team and maybe status or stature within the team. And the kind of the house of cards came tumbling down when I found out what was being said. But it was that courageous player that came to me as the owner and said, "Hey, you're out of line," and for me, before I ever found that out. And I know that there were some folks, some players, some good players that in that time frame in 2008 that left the team, and I can't say I blame them if they believed that that was the case. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, and it would have been much better if much earlier, I would have been notified. You know, they would have followed the code of conduct and called me out earlier, and I would have known what was being said. So the key, one of the keys to making that work is to make sure everybody knows that everybody has the same stake and is still governed by those same rules. So we also have these player reps, and those have been used somewhat effectively in the past, and I think that a lot of teams use those also, and if you don't have those in place, I'd recommend them. The advice I'd have as we go into the next season for the player reps is that you got to be like a member of the press. I kind of call it the member of the press. And I'm not sure that our press always does a great job of this, but when you're reporting a story, when someone comes to you with an issue and you need to take that forward, you might be taking it to the owner, you might be taking it to another player, you might be taking it to a coach, you got to try to be as true to that message as you can. You got to be a member of the press and take that story, take that information, and convey it as clearly and as accurately and completely as possible. And give that person that has to react to this and is going to try to fix this or change something as much information as accurate as possible. We had a situation, again, just very recently, where that wasn't happening, that the message wasn't clear, it wasn't correct, and sometimes that does more damage than as a player rep, you can do more damage than good if you're not being true to that. Now, that being the case, it's very appropriate for you to be a writer for the editorial page, you know, or opinions. You know, you're entitled to your opinion as a player rep, and at any point in time, you ought to be able to put those out there, and that's fine. But you kind of have to let people know when it is you're on your opinion editorial scenario and when you're doing the reporting as a player rep. And so If a team has something called a player rep that kind of helps facilitate communication, sometimes coaches or players aren't, or the owner isn't comfortable going to somebody directly, or maybe there isn't a good relationship there, and it helps to get someone else involved to kind of help mediate and communicate. That's a very important role. If it's not defined on your team, you might consider that and choose those folks wisely, because they can do more hurt than do more harm than good if they're not not being true to that a member of the press type scenario. So a lot can be said about drama and how to reduce it. I can't say I'm very good at that. I got to tell you a little bit about who I am. I am a IT, a computer science person, IT trained in management, and so I'm a very fact-based person. And I know a lot of times these are emotional issues, and some of the darkest times of the storm involved when you have folks that are maybe not being fact-based and creating a different reality. We had a lawyer on the team for some time, and she was great at creating a different reality that she wanted people to understand or to believe. Think about my training as I go through my education as a computer person. Facts are very important. And I always wanted to know what the facts were and make decisions based on those. Kind of a check your ego at the door type thing. Get to get together, understand what the facts are, and do the right thing. So that was the most important thing, is to not who was right, but what was right, and to do that. Think of with a lawyer's training. A lawyer's training is to create a reality that you want the outcome of. It's not what is right that's important. It's who is right in the end. It's who can you get people to think your way or to believe what you want them to believe. So a whole different skill set. And it was a very dark time when I was trying to manage by fact, and we had a lot of commotion around things that were kind of an illusion. And so be aware that, different people are going to, work in different ways. And I got a great story. I actually had a rookie that was having trouble getting her player fees met. And I'd do anything to, help them, get ready and get their things in. So I actually said, why don't you come into my house and paint? So I have got some painting outside to do, and I'll pay you kind of the market rate. It's kind of like you had a job, and that'll help knock down your player fees. So she's over at my house, and she's painting my deck, and I'm out there kind of working too. And I kind of took the opportunity to talk to her a little bit. And I asked her, I said, what do you think of the team? What would you change? Is there anything that, would make it better? And she said, oh, the fees. There's a problem with the fees. And I said, oh, okay. Well, what's the problem? Well, it's the fees, she said. That there's a problem with the fees are a problem. And so I kind of asked her again, I know there's a lot of different things that we could do with that. What's the problem? What's your concern? And she said, well, it's the fees. There's, the fees are a problem. And it was, if it wasn't so frustrating for me, I would have laughed, because it was obvious she was being fed something. Somebody wanted her and some set of people to believe that there's some big issue with the fees. They never told them what it was, but just kind of conjured up the illusion that, oh, the fees are a big issue. Here's this woman that was here sitting there painting that deck, and she was all upset about him, but she had no idea what it was that she was upset about. And I think that as people on the team, players, coaches, owners, everyone, it's important to if you're hearing something, get the facts, try to understand. Don't be a pawn in somebody's game. Form your own opinions. Give us people. Somebody very wise once told me, there's three sides to every story: yours, mine, and the truth. And I try to say that a lot of times. If you're making a decision based on just one third of that, you may be making the wrong decision. So try to try to get as much information as you can. And you know, the best thing I can do, and I would love the opportunity when these things happen, to sit down with the, you know, the third person, if you will. I would love that opportunity. I never get that, it seems like. And it would be kind of interesting to be able to, you know, face-to-face discuss, you know, whatever the issue is and what might be being represented. And so just a lot of things there for the team members, coaches and staff and players, all together, owners, is to be aware that, that some of those dynamics are on the play, and it's kind of your responsibility to maybe sort those out a little bit, get some facts, ask some questions, and use the tools that are available to you, whether it be a code of conduct or escalation or however, whatever your team calls it, and use those and get the biggest thing is, folks, is get the issue behind you. You have to realize that all the people in play that are involved with the team really have the same goal. You know, they're all working toward the same thing, and they all don't want drama. They all want things to be resolved, and they all want things to progress. So the fact, so that's really good. That's very powerful to understand. You know, if you're up against the wall, something's really frustrating, you step back and say, we all want the same thing here. You know, what do I know that someone doesn't know that I need to tell them because they're not being, you know, not behaving correctly, or they're making some bad decisions because I've got some information that they don't, or vice versa. Maybe somebody has information that I don't, and I would understand more what's going on, why something's going on, if I had that information. So, you know, communication is huge, and no one should be unapproachable in that mechanism. You know, keep the communication open, make sure it's honest. And when you, and if you feel there's an undercurrent of deceit, don't be a pawn in that game. You know, get your head out of the ground, look around, and understand that everybody really wants the same thing. So if it's not clicking, if it's not working, there's probably not enough information being shared, or it's bad information being shared. Actually, that even happened even just this week here at my team. So, you know, as I make these comments, I do not want you to think that, you know, anybody's got these things nailed down and it works every time, because it certainly doesn't. The other thing I just want to throw out is that this is not a dating service. I think too often people see this in the recruitment process as a social thing, which I think it very much is. I think that's a very important component, and it can really add to the enjoyment of the players and the team, staff, and coaches. And I think it's important. There's nothing wrong with that. But the social aspect is fine. If people are joining or staying joined just to meet folks for maybe the wrong reasons, that can cause a lot of issues. And boy, we've had some dark times in our history where we've had players dating coaches, coaches dating players, and it just gets messy. Cliques form. Cliques, you know, I understand that people are going to have people that they prefer to be around, or people that they kind of, click with, if you will. But on the field, that can't play a role. It's a team, one team on the field. And some of the darkest times in Storm's history had to do with when, you know, a player was dating the coach, and so then folks would flock to that player because they want that preferential treatment. You know, that player was kind of privy to certain information, and oftentimes would kind of disseminate that in a way of, you know, to, you know, conjure up maybe power or prestige. And so we had real unhealthy mix at that point. So and you know, we end up purging ourselves, even if those are good people. You know, we just can't have that. And I'm not talking about now where there might be a husband and wife or a couple. Obviously, those things happen, and that can be a very good relationship and a good something that good for the team. If a player comes on and her husband wants to help, and that strengthens the team, you know, that works well. I'm not talking about those types of things, those types of relationships. I'm talking about the hookups and the drama and oh my gosh, we've had, the stories are unbelievable, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have experienced that too. So, you know, be on the lookout for that, and kind of try to set some expectations early that, you know, this is about football, this is about teaching a sport and enjoying that, and you know, we really try to want to focus on that. We understand there's a lot of human dynamics that happen. It's a long season. You spend a lot of time with these folks, but we really want to try to control that as much as possible. One of the players a couple of years ago came up with a good name. You know, we've kind of discarded people that participate like that, and we call them the storm discards. And there's a team in town that is ready to pick those folks up, and you know, those aren't bad people. You know, they just don't fit in the storm hand. The storm doesn't want that try to dynamic. You know, we're trying to minimize those kinds of things, and you know, other folks have a different value system, other teams, and they're fine with that. So they kind of pick up those cards and they'll play them in their hand, and it fits in their hand, and that's okay. You guys just have to decide with amongst your teams, and it may even vary from year to year, what your comfort level is and how you kind of want to handle those very precarious relationships, because it can fall so quickly into a spiral of favorites. Having to deal with all the favoritism and the cliques, and it's been, you know, I just hate that. And so it's something to really be managed, and I don't have a Rosetta Stone to give you for that. But be aware that it happens. Watch for it. You know, stay on top of it at all levels. And everybody has that responsibility, and not just the coaches or the owners or the staff. And, you know, the players especially have to, you know, kind of watch for that. And if there's disruptive behavior, we need to call those folks out and make adjustments and tone things down, because it can really, really hurt the team. And again, if a team hurts, the chain gets linked. That link in the chain is weak, and it affects the league, et cetera. It just snowballs. So a little note about the dating services. I think I already talked a little bit about managing by fact, told you about my background and how important that was in my training and what I bring, and how easy that is if folks aren't subscribing to that, how easy it is to manipulate and to get other perceptions out there. I'll never forget, at one point, a veteran had pulled me aside. There were some issues, and she said, I kept saying, but it's not true. Don't worry about it. It's not true. You know, I can send out the old email and, you know, pull something out. And she said something pretty profound. It's very frustrating for me, but you guys have to understand this. This is true. She said, Nance, it doesn't matter what the truth is. It's what people believe. And all of my training, going through school and into the corporate environment, you know, that was really hard to stomach, because we always want to be fact-based and we want to be to do the right thing. Whereas, again, there's always that potential of what's in people's minds. So be aware. I mean, she said something, and I hated it, but I think it happens, and I think I have to agree that it doesn't matter what the truth is. It's what people believe. So even if you dig out the old email and, you know, show them, you know, what might have transpired, you know, if someone is disruptive and gets things in their minds, you have a lot of issues. So watch for that kind of thing, and understand that not everybody's going to be, managed by fact, and will take the time to get the facts. You know, it's just like we just came off the elections, and, you know, how many of us really dug through all the literature that came across, and, you know, and dug through, or did we let somebody kind of recommend for us? You know, well, we all do that, and so, you know, I do it too. You just have to recognize that happens. And so it's, you know, it's easy that folks get off kilter, and teams get off kilter. And so, you know, be aware, be watchful, you know, call that out, make people aware so that things can kind of get back online, because if that happens early, you know, that the season is can be very, very frustrating. So I guess the last note I have on that is don't get sucked in, get the facts, don't be a pawn in someone's game. Those are kind of important. Yeah, also, again, no one is above these rules, you know. I think sometimes I'm the most misquoted person in Kansas City when I hear what supposedly things I've said. So if you're hearing something and it doesn't seem to make sense, you're probably not hearing it right, or there's, you don't have a full deck of cards to evaluate that comment. So even if someone is quoting somebody that should know, it's always good to kind of double check, especially if the things aren't lining up, if it doesn't make sense. Remember, go back to that premise. Whenever things might seem a little bit odd or off kilter, remember, the staff, the players, the coaches, everybody is trying to do the right, same thing. You know, everybody has the same goal. So if it seems like something's off kilter, investigate that and make sure that that's not the case. You know, everybody's on the same page, and the facts are out there. So I'm getting down to my last few minutes here, and if you just, BJ, just hold with me for just a second here. The last thing I want to say, all these things can be very disruptive to the teams as we're coming into the next season. Please be mindful of those. Kind of remind yourselves that these things happen and be watching for those. How this can affect the sport as much as anything is that an unstable team will reduce investment. You know, when I've got a team that isn't gelling and we're having issues, I'm much less likely to invest, whether it be in advertising or things that I think might be needed for years to come or seasons to come or even latter part of the season, when things might not be going well, and it puts those at risk. So if there's behaviors going on and issues that would put that investment at risk, and because of the team might be unstable, then that's hurting women's football, and we are you know, just as guilty as some of the things that we've talked about the last couple of segments about what the leagues are doing that are hurting us. We hurt ourselves. This is the enemy within, remember? And if it's unstable, it's going to drive a lower investment, and that's going to hurt the growth, obviously. So very important to watch for these things, keep the team stable, keep them on track. And, you know, the rules are for everybody. Nobody's above those. Those are things to remember. So those are the things I wanted to leave you with tonight. And don't mix the – if you have any comments about tonight or any of those, any of my segments, please email those to me at nwernis@kcstormfootball.com. And we'll talk about those at the beginning of the next segment. And what we're going to talk about next time, we're going to kind of get off of this this topic, and we're going to talk about the UWFL, kind of some exciting news that came up this week. And so I'll try to share some of my thoughts with that. And I'll leave you tonight. So you've listened to Sidelines with Nance Wernis. And now I'm going to turn this back over to BJ. And you guys all have a great evening.